Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this Palm Sunday, Year B. Our readings today for the Liturgy of the Palms, Mark 11, verses 1 to 11, and Psalm 118, for the Liturgy of the Word, Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 9a, Psalm 31, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, and the Passion of our Lord according to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, from verse 1 to chapter 15, verse 45. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise Him. The Lord is here and we will worship Him. The Lord is here and we will trust Him. The Lord is here and we will honor Him. The Lord is here and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we do not come as guests, but as members of Your family. We do not come in fear, but with joy and thanksgiving. We do not come alone, but with all Your people, of every age and in every place. Lord, we come as Your family, for You are our Heavenly Father, and Christ is our brother, our Savior, and Lord. Amen. Lord, on this Passion Sunday, we gather again to hear the message of the cross. Though we have heard it so many times before, may we hear it today with wonder, amazement, and joy, as if we were hearing it for the first time. Make us aware of the cost of healing our relationship with You. Teach us the cost of forgiveness. Show us the depth of Your love. Reawaken our desire to kneel at the foot of the cross, and challenge us by the sacrifice of Your Son. In His name, Amen.
Oh,
We pray the collect for Palm Sunday, followed by the collect or parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in your tender love for all our human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take our flesh and suffer death upon a cruel cross. May we follow the example of his great humility and share in the glory of his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Following the Crowd. Following the Crowd. Crowds always seem to be a part of the ministry of Jesus. In Mark's Gospel, as Jesus began his teaching, preaching, and healing ministry, a crowd followed him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 33, we read, "When Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law of her fever, the whole city gathered around the door." Also in Mark's Gospel, when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, so many gathered around that there was no room for anyone. So when the men came carrying a paralyzed man, they could do nothing to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. And so they had to remove the roof and let the man on the mat down so that Jesus could heal him. As Jesus' popularity grew, the crowds increased. In Mark chapter 2, verse 13, we read, "Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them." In Mark chapter 3, after appointing the 12, whom he also named apostles, he went home and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. The crowd following Jesus grew larger and larger as his ministry progressed. Mark does not describe his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but John tells us, "When the people heard that Jesus was at the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, a great crowd of Jews came not only to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus." John 12, verse 9. It was the next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival, that is, the Passover, the festival that marked the liberation of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. They heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." John chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 43, we read in the Garden of Gethsemane, immediately he, Jesus, was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and elders. There was also a crowd when the chief priests, elders, and scribes, and the whole council brought Jesus and handed him over to Pilate. John 15, verse 1. At that time, the Jews were subject to Roman law. While Rome offered some measure of local rule to the Jews, it retained authority over serious matters, including capital crimes. The council believed Jesus to be a blasphemer and a threat to their personal power, so they wanted him dead. Pilate, however, would not care about their charges of blasphemy, so the council would put their charges against Jesus under Roman law as sedition or treason. He said he was a king, and Caesar was their king. At Pilate's court, the council organized a crowd. Mark records, so the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Mark chapter 15, verse 8. What was his custom? At the festival, Pilate used to release a prisoner to them, anyone for whom they asked. The choice on this occasion was between Barabbas, who had committed murder during the insurrection, and Jesus, who Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. The crowd, under the instigation of the chief priests and others, asked for Barabbas. When asked by Pilate, "What do you wish me to do with the man called the King of the Jews?" they shouted in unison, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Mark chapter 15, verses 11 to 15. Pilate released Barabbas on the word of the crowd. Pilate flogged and sentenced Jesus to death on the word of the crowd. You don't have to be a part of the crowd to be influenced by it. In that crowd were some of the same people who a week before shouted, "Hosanna." What lesson, therefore, can we learn from this crowd behavior coming after Palm Sunday? The lesson: beware of the crowd. Make sure that you are not moving with the crowd. Psychology is the study of human behavior. Social psychology is the scientific study of how we think about, influence, and relate to each other. It is known that we take cues from our environment, especially other people, on how to act. This is used extensively in advertising. In advertising, popular is good. If everyone else is buying it, then it is worth our attention. We should buy it too, is the understanding that advertising gives us. Many psychologists have studied crowd behavior, or what is called mob psychology. Gustavo Le Bon says, in a crowd, the individual is no longer himself, but has become an automaton who ceases to be guided by his own will, but is guided by the will of the crowd. In what he calls group mind, Le Bon explains that in a crowd, people feel, think, and act in a manner quite different from that in which the individual would feel, think, and act when he or she were isolated. In the crowd, you lose your individuality. There is a decline in personal responsibility because it is easy to put the blame on others. In the crowd, there is an intensification of emotions with a lowering of intellectual levels. In other words, emotions are high and intelligence is low. Or put another way, in the crowd, you act on emotion rather than common sense. Crowd behavior is therefore less rational and more emotional. It is an irresponsible mind focusing its attention on an immediate object. In a crowd, Le Bon says, individuals behave more irrationally than they would otherwise behave. Another social psychologist, William McDougall, says a crowd is excessively emotional, impulsive, fickle, inconsistent, irresolute, and extreme in action, displaying only coarser emotions and the less refined sentiments. A crowd is extremely suggestible, careless in deliberation, hasty in judgment, incapable of anything but the simplest and imperfect forms of reasoning. A crowd is easily swayed and led, lacking in self-consciousness, devoid of self-respect and a sense of responsibility. Hence, he concludes, its behavior is like that of an unruly child, or it is like a wild beast. When we are exhibiting crowd behavior, we are going with the flow. You can be for this today and something else tomorrow. You can shout Hosanna today and crucify him tomorrow. You can choose Jesus today and Barabbas tomorrow. You can say I for Jesus today, and tomorrow you are for the world. And so we need to consider, what is the nature of our call to discipleship? Was it a crowd decision with lots of emotion and little consideration? Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up a cross daily, and follow me. Did we make the decision to follow Jesus because we were part of the crowd, or, like Pilate, because we were influenced by the crowd? Did we make our decision to follow Jesus as a sober, deliberate, thoughtful decision? Note in the Gospels, Jesus called his disciples individually. He desired each of them to make their own decision. The crowds followed him out of curiosity. They wanted to see miracles. Why do we follow Jesus? Are we striving to have a personal relationship with God? Or is it that it looks good to others when they see us going and coming from church? The invitation to follow Jesus is a personal one, which each of us must consider carefully, counting the cost and making a deliberate decision. Therefore, when we say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," there will be no change of heart, no movement with the crowd, but faithfully following in the steps of Jesus. Wherever he leads, we will go, and no crowd would lead us elsewhere. We will be able every day and under every circumstance to choose Jesus rather than Barabbas. Our lesson that we should learn from Palm Sunday is beware of the crowd. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, King of the universe, ride on in humble majesty. Lord, this Palm Sunday, may we recognize in you the Lord who comes to his world and join with full heart in the children's Hosanna. Ride on through conflict and debate. Ride on through sweaty prayer and betrayal of friends. Lord, this Palm Sunday, forgive us our evasions of truth, our carelessness of your honor, our weakness which leave us sleeping even while in others you suffer and are anguished, our cowardice that does not risk the consequences of publicly acknowledging you as Lord. Ride on to the empty tomb and your raising in triumph. Ride on to raise up your church, a new body for your service. Ride on, King Jesus, to renew the whole earth in your image. In compassion, come to help us. Amen. O Christ, the King of glory, who did enter the holy city in meekness to be made perfect through the suffering of death, give us grace, we beseech you, in all our life here to take up our cross daily and follow you, that hereafter we may rejoice with you in your heavenly kingdom, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God, world without end. Amen. As on this day, we keep the special memory of our Redeemer's entry into the city, so grant, Lord, that now and ever he may triumph in our hearts. Let the King of grace and glory enter in, and let us lay ourselves and all we are in full, joyful homage before him, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to conquer the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, may Christ draw you to himself, to find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this night, this week, and always. And so we pray that you will continue to observe the regulations, and please be safe.